B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome in to the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshitz. Should we give out picks right away? Who you got? No, not yet.
A little early.
I'm ready for tonight, Dan. I'm sure you are. You got your crew with you today. You're going on a big trip. And there's lots of stuff happening today, of course. College basketball begins at noon. We got XFL somewhere around 2 o'clock today. And then some NBA games. I know spring training begins as well. I do not bet on spring training. And also, we have the rematch tonight. Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury at the MGM in Las Vegas. And the money is swinging all over the place in that one tonight. And we'll talk with our good friend, William G. Lanny, at about 7:35 today, our hockey expert. Our boxing expert.
Billiam.
All right, so Dan, last week we went into the Big Ten pretty hard about the home teams, and they won. They did well. And during the week, there was a couple of fades in there.
Indeed.
The road team, Michigan, won the other night on the road as a dog. And, you know, one team that did cover and win was Michigan State, who's on the list. So, like, even though they were a road team, they won and covered. They beat a home team in the Big Ten. But that's one thing. Now, the conference that's becoming interesting to me, though, is the Big East. The Big East is now starting to become a little interesting.
Interesting how? Because I watch those games and I think I'm not so high on these teams.
Well, the lines. I mean, you remember the...
Every week.
We did the podcast the other night and that Butler game was going back and forth with Seton Hall.
And yeah, that was brutal. But I mean, every week we have a couple today. I mean, we got Xavier, we got...
Providence, Villanova on the road.
Well, yeah, versus Xavier, which is a real interesting line. Providence, obviously, you know, at home this week. I mean, the Big East has these lines, it feels like, every week now where there's going to be upsets. Obviously, Providence taking on Marquette today. Marquette, by the way, not a good road team. So that's one thing to look at there. But, I mean, just in general, the Big East has a lot of upsets, it feels like, coming. And I don't see them slowing down in the next few weeks.
Yep, and again, we'll get into a little bit more of the college basketball, what's happening in the top 25, and then some sneaky picks that are out there today. But what we usually do at this time of day is we do the wake-up call, and we talk about some teams that may be on wake-up call. You got any, Dan, off the bat? Because I got a few.
I got two off the bat. You want me to start with one, and we'll let you go? All right. I did it a couple weeks ago. They won by 1 point in a miracle win. I'm going back to the well. Gonzaga, you are on wake-up call versus BYU and the Mormons today. BYU is an incredibly good home team on a very good spot, coming off a big win versus Santa Clara. Gonzaga had to come all the way back versus San Francisco, who they struggled with the first time. They crushed them in the second half and covered, what was it, the 16.5-point spread?
Yep.
However, I think today is a bad spot for Gonzaga to go on the road facing a good home team in BYU who just demolished Santa Clara at home. BYU is going to beat Gonzaga today. Gonzaga, you are on wake-up call.
Is that a PP?
No.
All right.
Not yet. I have a few others.
Just wanted to make sure.
But it's something I very much like.
So. Do we even have a line on that game yet? Because
It's four and a half.
Okay. Listen, people. I know Dan's trying to put him on wake-up call. For weeks, Dan has been looking at these lines with Gonzaga that, they haven't beat a team with less than 6 points. Every week, right?
On the road, Gonzaga has not covered a spread that is under 10 points. Have not covered a spread.
And it's 4.5 tonight.
4.5.
Okay. I started at 3.5. So I see a lot of people that are on BYU this week. Gonzaga has won 9 of the past 10 meetings. They've won 9 of the last 10 meetings. And listen, I get it. This is your call. This is what you think could happen.
I
love covers.com. It's one of my favorite sites. Their prediction, BYU 82, Gonzaga 79. So it's not just you. My thing is, I can't fade the Bulldog right now. The Zags, I can't do it. I just can't. just like another team that's playing today that we'll get to, Baylor. I don't know if I can fade them again.
I can't do it.
I don't know if we can.
By the way, I will give someone credit. This Baylor has covered, I think, 15 of the last 16 first halves this year. They are a first half covering machine.
Yeah. All right. The phone number here is 617-779-0985. We are the only live sports betting show here in Boston. So this is the place if you want to talk about anything tonight. College hoops, NBA, the big boxing match tonight, anything coming down the line with UFC. We've been crushing the UFC dogs of late. That's been very successful. The team that I have a couple of wake-up calls today, but you kind of mentioned it right off the bat, Dan. I think Marquette is on wake-up call today. It's 12 o'clock game. They go on the road. They play at Providence. Providence is a 2-point favorite in this one. I'm not going to call it a square play because I have another square play for later. But just Marquette of late, you know, they've split the last 12 meetings, these two teams.
That's like, not a surprise.
There's just never been like a clear winner in this series. Now, Howard scored 39 points in a loss earlier this year. So Providence has a chance to sweep Marquette this year, who's what, 13 in the country right now? So
I mean, they're not a good roadside, Joe. 3-5 on the road this year. Like, you can't be a ranked team and expect to be backed in March when you can't win on the road.
So remember a couple of weeks back when we started the show, it was that Providence-Villanova game. It came basically down to the number.
Gross.
Well, Providence, I think, should be favored today. And normally this, like, if Marquette was -2, I'd be all over Providence. I'd be all over it. But for some reason, I think just the odds makers, just like us, I think they see a good spot for Providence. And also, Providence is 15-12. Like, they got to get it together here. If, you know, March is right around the corner. And if you want to compete, like, you need a big win against a Marquette team, especially if you sweep them for the year.
After you lose to Villanova, this would be a huge resume builder for them if they can win this game. And again, they should. They're the favorite. They're at home. They're an elite home team this year, 10-3, which is, you know, very respectable. You know, one of those losses is obviously to Nova. Marquette's not a good roadside. You need to win this game. This is a game you need to win if you want to have any chance of making the tournament if you're Providence.
All right, we get some other big games today. These are the ones I wrote down, Dan. Kansas-Oregon will break down coming up after the break.
Kansas-Baylor.
Oh, sorry, why do I keep doing that? Kansas-Baylor. It's because of the green colors, I think. Kentucky-Florida. We remember Florida hosted them earlier this year. Didn't work out very well. Oregon-Arizona tonight. That's another ranked game. And then obviously the Zags in BYU. And then I'm going to break down a Big Ten matchup for us, per usual. Michigan goes to Purdue.
Oh, boy.
Well, just think about that game for a second.
I already know.
Michigan is playing well.
I looked at it last night. I know what side I like.
You know what side I like?
I know exactly
what side. What's the trend?
You absolutely like Michigan.
I like the trend.
What's the trend?
We're going to talk about that coming up on the other side. Nice. The phone number is 617-779-0985. Let's start it off with Jesse, who's in California, waking up early. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Jesse?
How you doing?
Excellent. I know you guys usually talk top 25 at this point. But I tend to bet smaller schools for better value.
Hey, Jesse, can we just bring something up real quick before you get into that? So we do a weekly appearance here in Boston on Toucher and Rich. We gave out what was the team you gave out this week, Dan? Eastern Kentucky. Yeah, Eastern Kentucky. I gave out Delaware at one point and Hofstra. Like last week, Dan gave out Elon and like all this. So yes, we start off with top 25 because it's interesting. But as you mentioned, as you're both probably about to mention, there's tons of value in these small schools.
Absolutely. What I'm looking at today is Valparaiso at getting one against Bradley. And Valparaiso is 9-2 at home, 7-2-1 against the spread at home. The favorite in the series is 5-0 against the spread. Ooh. The home team is 5-0 against the spread in the last five games. Bradley's a bad road team at 3-7 and 4-6 against the spread. What do you guys think?
Wow. So you like Valpo today?
I do.
Wow. So let me ask you this, Jesse. Did you call in last week with another game? I think you might have called them a Bill and Mary one time.
I called in on your first show with Austin Peay.
That's right. That's right. We talked about you. So what is it? Do you just cap small game? What is it? I mean, I appreciate the knowledge because this is stuff that we circle, and then later on in the day, it's like, eh, let's kind of dabble on this. How do you look at this stuff?
Mostly at home records and then trends between the series between the two teams. I don't usually go towards ranked teams because of all the other stuff that goes into what could happen during the games with refs and alumni and all that sort of stuff. So the smaller schools are usually where I tend to find value.
Hey, that Austin Peay game that you hit, Belmont was a big favorite, right? Everyone loved Belmont that day, and Austin Peay came out. Another thing about your game today, Bradley's 19-9. Right, this is like a Valpo minus one versus a 19-9 team. So maybe you're on to something there.
Hopefully, it turns out really well, man. Thank you guys for listening to it and taking a look at it.
You got it, Jesse. Welcome anytime here on Over Under 985.
All right, Jesse's kind of stole my thunder. Why don't we just start this off? Kristen, if you could ring that bell, Valpo minus one. Let's start it off, baby. That was one of my plays today.
Valpo.
Valpo minus one. Dude, Bradley is not a good side. Valpo in a good spot. Valpo a good home team, and they need this win. If they want to have any chance in the Missouri Valley, they need to start collecting some wins versus these good teams.
So, again, I'm on covers.com. It's just easy for me to research there. I've been using them for years.
Yep.
The trends the caller Jesse just brought up, head-to-head meetings, the favorite is 5-0 against the spread in the last five games.
You want to know why that is? Because the home team is 5-0.
Home team, 5-0. Last five games. So,
there you go.
This is what we talk about when it comes to betting teams. Sometimes it's not about the team. It's not about their record or who the players are. Trends just seem to have a way of working out. Valpo minus one today seems to be the right side. But again, you can always fade or follow the trend. Five in a row, though, that's something you want to continue to follow.
Forget about the trends. It's a good spot for them. Yes. And I actually don't like betting Saturday night games, to be honest with you, but this is one I'm going to have to bet.
617-779-0985. We got more games going to feature in just a little bit here. We've got Jack in the car. What's going on, Jack? Who you got?
Hey, guys. I'm looking at, like, two college basketball plays today. I want to know what you think. I'm looking at Auburn, Tennessee. I see that they're like 6.5-point favorites, and I didn't really like the way they played. I forget who they played last.
They lost to Georgia on the road.
Badly.
Right, and I was watching that game, and I don't know, that was just gross. So I think 6.5 is a little much. I don't know, what do you guys think?
What's your other game?
Oh, the other game I had was Pittsburgh, Virginia. Pittsburgh at home, -3. Plus, I don't know. I was thinking about taking them.
You got it, Jack. Appreciate it. Both those, right off the bat, Dan, both those games are at noon today.
Yeah, so here's what I'd say about the Auburn game. They haven't played well recently, okay? They've really regressed from early on. They
lucked out that LSU dominant game a week ago, too.
Yep.
2 weeks ago?
I would say there has definitely been some regression in Auburn, and you know, they're not looking like a real serious contender in March right now if they keep going the way they're going, which is, you know, concerning if you're an Auburn fan, obviously. I think Tennessee, you know, not the best road team, but, you know, I think this is a game where they could make it interesting and maybe make it a one or two game possession. I definitely wouldn't side with Auburn with the way they're playing, even at home.
Just some trends for that, Dan. Home team 15-7 against the spread the last 22 meetings. That's a big sample size. Favorites 18-7 against the spread. Only thing that concerns me today, I think Auburn should win this game.
Yeah.
6.5.
Yeah, right? I think they should win. I would not be surprised if it's a one possession game or Auburn has to come back late. You see, you know, a tie game going, you know, or a close game, you know, going late.
Just another thing to add to that, last 10 games, last 10 Auburn 3-7 against the spread, where Tennessee's 5-5.
All right, in the other game, Virginia-Pittsburgh. Kristen, ring the bell again. Give me Pittsburgh +3 at home.
Home dog.
Versus Virginia. Pittsburgh in a fantastic spot. once again, Virginia, not a great road side. Again, they play very good defense, but their defense tends to struggle on the road. The communication's a little bit worse. And Pittsburgh has been, you know, a solid road side. I give them, you know, they're not a great road team again, which is not a big surprise in the ACC, but I like Pittsburgh today. I think
so
they
ringing that
three.
Bell? All right.
There you go. Pittsburgh plus three, and I think Pittsburgh wins that game outright.
So, listen, this is a Joe Murray special right here. I'm fading Dan Lifshatz for a couple of reasons. One, Virginia has won four straight in the series, 11-12, and the Cavs have won four of their last five at Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
also,
Virginia has been good.
Virginia
those years.
Just
not this
beat
year.
Boston College, and say whatever you want about BC. They actually put up points, Dan. They actually put points on the board.
What happened when Virginia went to Boston College earlier this year, Joe?
Well, they lost.
Okay.
But they had knew they had to score.
At home, they're a totally different
team.
I'm
going to throw something else out there.
I'm telling you.
If Pittsburgh is winning at half, double down on them. When they are trailing at half this year, they're 4-12. So, you know how we love second half bets? If Virginia's winning this game by, let's three or more. I would double down on Virginia's second half.
Interesting.
But okay. If Pitt's up, I double down on Pitt because Virginia's not going to keep up with them.
I just think Virginia's defense is going to struggle more than usual on the road, and their offense, they're offensively challenged. We know that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. In Pittsburgh at home. I mean, what's Virginia this year on the road? 4-4, not outstanding.
No, so, they're not. I mean, again, I think it's a good, I think I'm looking more at the spot than I am. The actual record.
A clear home dog coming off a team that struggles to score, that just scored a bunch of points against a subpar team. Virginia needs to get on track. They need this game today. What are they, 18-7? This would be a huge win for Pitt, especially at home.
I think this is a bigger game for Pittsburgh after Virginia just came off the shellacking of Boston College, which they badly, sorely needed. Pittsburgh's defense ranked 53rd in the country, and you know, this is really good at home when you're facing a team that's 350th in the country offensively.
Oof.
So, I mean, listen, do whatever you need to do. Two very, very good defenses. Virginia number one, Pittsburgh top 53. Events, you know, two bad offenses, 312 and 349. I'd look under. I'd look, and I'm definitely looking Pittsburgh here.
All right, Dan gave you two picks there in the first segment. We're going to come back. We'll give you two more picks. I got one today in the NBA, and I will tell you a team in college basketball that stinks overall, terrible on the road, but 29th in the country offensively at home, and I will give you that pick coming up next here on Over Under 985.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 985 The Sports Hub.
It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Dan Lifshatz to my left. I'm Joe Murray. I guess that would be to their right.
To the right.
People in the car, right? Is that how it would work out? I don't know. Whatever. Let's give out some picks right away. Who you got?
What's up with you, Joe Murray?
I'm going to give one out in the NBA today.
Ooh.
Last night I took the under in the Celtics game. Not good. There's a lot of like good Celtics trends out there right now. What was the one you brought up this morning with the over?
And then they've gone over 12 of the last game, second half.
Okay.
Last 12-0 to the second half over.
All right, let's get that bell ready. But I am going Phoenix Suns -1 tonight at Chicago. Chicago's without everybody. Markkanen's out. Their whole entire team is out.
LaVine's not playing?
I believe most of their guys are out. I'm looking at the injury report right now. LaVine is actually, he is in the mix.
Okay.
They're down five guys tonight. They're down five guys on their roster.
Short bench.
Phoenix on a back-to-back doesn't bother me. Phoenix lost the last meeting, though, 116-100. I think it's a little bit of payback tonight. I like Phoenix -1. It's a small play. Small line.
Has Phoenix played since the All-Star break?
I believe it was last night they played. Yeah.
So here's something, another interesting trend off the All-Star break, which I actually forgot. First quarter unders, if you're playing your first
Phoenix
game.
Phoenix lost last night, by the way.
Okay.
So Toronto.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. On the road, right?
Yep.
Okay. So first quarter unders after the All-Star break and the NBA games are something like 9-3.
Wow.
First quarter unders.
Definitely not the Oklahoma City game last night, and I don't think the Celtics did either. I actually don't know.
Celtics went under first
quarter. It went under, okay.
Yeah.
Because that Oklahoma, not the, sorry, the New Orleans game last night, woof. That game had like 75 points in the first quarter. And it's somehow, I think it stayed.
I think that was like the Celtics third quarter. I think they had like 69 or 70 points in the third quarter last night.
And then one more game. I'll give this out right now. I mentioned a team that is 29th in the country offensively at home, and it is in the Big Ten, and we brought it up earlier today. Michigan at Purdue. Lock it up. Purdue at home today. What's the trend, Dan? Home teams in the Big Ten. Now, Michigan has won how many in a row? Four or five? So they've been hot of late. I am fading Michigan today, even though they won on the road the other night at Rutgers.
Purdue minus three, baby.
And at home, they're just outstanding.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I get it is.
And Purdue's lost like four in a row. I actually had some stats on this. Like they've lost like four in a row. I believe Livers is traveling with the team for Michigan.
He didn't play last game.
So we'll see what happens. Like if he plays, that's a little bit of a difference. But give me Purdue at home today. What else you got?
All right, I'll give out one more, and I'll save my final two for later because, you know, of course, there are teams that no one knows. NC State is at home versus Florida State. Now, Florida State ranked number 8 in the country. We, you guys have known, if you've listened to the podcast, listened to the show, how much I have pumped NC State as a sleeper in this tournament. Well, they had a big win the other night.
They destroyed Duke.
Ruined them.
Inside and out. Outside, they were shooting threes, out rebounding them.
Which is funny because the previous game they lost on the road at BC. However.
It was a look-ahead game.
It feels like to me that NC State has kind of gotten back on track after losing three in a row. They've won three of their last four, including two or three road games. It's hard when you go on a three-game road trip. All right? They're back at home where they thrive, 12-3 this year, in a good spot. Florida State is a really, really good, really, really good team, but every single one of their losses has come on the road, and I don't feel great about them as a current road side. We saw them lose to Virginia on the road a couple weeks ago. NC State reminds me of that. NC State plus 1.5 at home. Lock it up. I'm taking NC State.
Ring
to
that bell. Wow, NC State, kid.
Going back to the well.
They looked really good today. All right, quickly, we're going to talk to William G. Lanny coming up in just a little bit. He's our inside boxing expert. I can share a story a long time ago. We used to do a boxing show, and we would literally have like Burt Randolph Sugar smoking cigars in the studio next to us and tell us old tales about the old days. And it was like during the heyday of like Floyd Mayweather. Like those days we were working the boxing show. So he'll be on a little bit. We'll get his take on what's happening in the big Fury Wilder fight tonight. The weigh-in happened as well. But I want to highlight one game in 1 minute. Kansas, Baylor. Baylor has 5 weeks in a row been the number one team in the country. And the theme this year was number one team gets knocked off. People have been fading Baylor for weeks. They went and beat Kansas a few weeks back.
Destroyed them at home.
So they're playing without Maceo Teague today for the second straight game. Their leading scorer. They host Kansas, who's been hot.
Both teams 10-0 in the last 10.
This is the game of the year in college basketball.
This is the game of the year.
Who you got?
I'm gonna say Kansas. I like Kansas to cover. I think this is gonna be a game where it's gonna be, you know, up and down, kind of back and forth game till the end. I think Kansas is good enough to pull away. We've seen Baylor be shaky the past few weeks, you know, not in terms of covering, but just in terms of, you know, finding these games to pull out of nowhere. I like Kansas to kind of get some revenge in a good spot, big revenge spot for Kansas. They got blown out, embarrassed at home by this team. I like Kansas.
If you're going to fade a team, today's the day to fade Baylor at home, number one team in the country. I just want to give out some trends. Underdog 6-2 against the spread the last 8 meetings. Road team 22-8-1 the last 31 meetings. There's a favor towards Kansas in that one, Dan. And I think losing your best player for back-to-back games, I think it makes an impact today.
Agreed. And Kansas 8-1 against the spread on the road.
If there's one thing about Kansas in the history of them in the last few years, Bill Self, they struggle on the road.
But it has not been the way this year. They've been so much better on the road than usual, which is why they're a legitimate threat in March this year.
All right, we got some XFL stuff coming up in a bit, but the big one tonight, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, it's in Vegas, a rematch, might be the fifth highest betting boxing match in the last 20 years. And we're going to talk to our good friend, Billy Lanny, part of the Felger Mavs program. You can hear him on weekends here on 98.5 The Sports Hub as well. He'll join us next here on the DraftKings Over Under 98.5 show.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over Under show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a right cross that lands for Fury.
Left hook follow-up to it, which landed, and then his head hit the canvas.
Incredible!
Ladies and gentlemen, after 12 rounds of action here at Staples Center, we have a split decision, and here are the score totals.
All right, back here on the DraftKings Over-Under show. I watched that fight. I was at an establishment. I had the over. Wilder knocks down Fury, and I'm like, get up! Get up!
You won that
Get
fight?
Up! He got up, and I won my bet, and that's all I cared about. But then I'm watching it, and I go, Fury's going to win this fight.
Yeah.
Gets knocked down again in the 12th. All of a sudden, like the Undertaker, just pops back up.
Rises right out of the, the coffin he was in?
One of the better fights I've seen in a long time, especially heavyweights. But let's bring in our good friend here, our boxing insider here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. William G. Lanny joins us now on the DraftKings Over-Under show. Billy, I know we go way back doing boxing stuff. We've sat in rooms with guys like Burt Randolph Sugar. We've talked to the Jim Lampleys of the world, the Max Kellermans. But as a fan, your thought on the last fight, and also just what are some of your takeaways heading into the Fury-Wilder fight and the rematch tonight?
What's up, boys? I appreciate you guys having me on. This is exciting stuff.
Of course, Billy.
Last fight was awesome. Last fight was great. It was to see a guy of Fury's size defend the way he did against a guy of Wilder's size with Wilder's punching power. It's awesome just to see two gigantic beasts going at it like they did. And like you guys are talking about, to see him get knocked down in the 9th, pop up, and then the dramatic knockdown in the 12th, and he got up in the 12th, and it was almost like he was just ready to go. Like, he got up, shook it off, and he actually went after Wilder, you know what I mean? To come up from a knockdown like that and then get right up and be the aggressor is pretty impressive.
So, Billy, obviously this fight here, the line has moved a little bit, and on the betting line, it's essentially a pick 'em. It's essentially a pick 'em. There's some change here and there. Wilder's now at minus 125. 125 that gets you 100. Fury's plus 105. So he's the underdog. The total in rounds is set at 10.5. If you were to wager on this fight, which way would you lean when it comes to a winner? But also, how many rounds do you think this goes?
I think it goes the distance, and I'm picking Fury by decision this time.
Okay, so I'm on the same thing, Billy. But Dan, explain maybe to a better why this might work.
All right, so here's the thing, Billy, and obviously you understand this. You bet Fury, it's minus 105 or plus 100, so you're getting even odds. Riddle me this. I know Fury has kind of said that he's going to knock out Wilder in the second or third round or whatever it is, but I personally don't believe that. Fury wins by decision is plus 200. Do you believe that there would be a legitimate value in taking Fury to win by decision plus 200 instead of just taking him straight up to win the match or, win the fight? Because I think if Fury's going to win, it's going to be, throughout decision, not through knockout.
Yeah. Right. It's funny, too, because when the rematch was first announced, I figured if it went the distance again, it would go towards Wilder. Just because I feel that, it was a terrible, it's probably not a legitimate way to look at it, but I think that the longer it goes because of Wilder's shape and his ability to throw punches, I think as it gets on later, you assume that he's got a better chance at doing it. But I think the lines have shifted a little, right? Like the later rounds, are they starting to lean more towards Fury? You know, if it comes down to 10, 11, 12, are the numbers in Fury's favor or Wilder's?
Right now, I think Wilder's favor.
Okay, so what's tough for me is, you know, Wilder's got punching power that can come, as we see, at any time from any angle to get you. But Fury's defense is just something else. It's quite a scene for a guy of his shape and his length and his ability to defend the way he does. So, you know, Wilder could catch him, but Fury can dodge out of those and bounce back up. So I'm looking at a Fury decision just based on his ability to defend. As much as I hate to say that, because I was, you know, Mayweather was entertaining, but you know, if you found that entertaining. So to see a guy be able to defend at that size is impressive. I think that's what might give him the decision in the end.
All right, Billy Lanny's joining us on the DraftKings Over-Under Show. He's a part of the Felger and Mazz program. You can hear him weekends here on 98.5 The Sports as well. So in the last fight, right, Wilder versus Ortiz, I thought Ortiz was winning that fight until a knockout blow happened. If that went the distance, Billy, I think Ortiz would have got the judges, right?
But that's the reason you watch Wilder fights, because all it takes is one punch, and he'll tell you that. And that's what makes him, and that's what makes this heavyweight division exciting, is the ability for a guy to be down in the cards like that and still be able to knock a guy out with one punch.
So let me ask you this. Fury now has a new trainer, someone he's never worked with before. He weighed in at 273. He's done the WWE stuff. He's doing the world tours, you name it. Can he go another 36 minutes with Wilder?
Yeah, I don't see why not. He's always, you know, it's the definition of not judging a book by its cover. You look at the guy and he doesn't look like your typical heavyweight fighter, because you have guys like Fury, you have guys like Anthony Joshua, and they are big, they are chiseled, they are ripped, you know? So it's you question a guy's ability to go 36 minutes with the shape that he's in, but I can see him going the distance and seeing him winning the decision.
Hey, Billy, we know Wilder is one of the biggest punchers. I mean, you just mentioned Mayweather, you know, being that great defensive fighter, it might have been boring. That's what makes Wilder so great. When you think of boxers in the past, right, who do you think has had the hardest knockout punches for heavyweights?
Tyson.
So I said George Foreman, and the reason why is Foreman knocked out Foreman at 44 years old.
Right. Right, but you know, for me, I've seen more of Tyson, so it's easy for me to say Tyson, because I've seen more of his fights live than I have with George Foreman. Like, I saw George Foreman knock out Michael Moore, which is proof that you never lose your punch, you know what I mean? Yep. It was amazing to see that happen, but for me, it was always Tyson, just because that's what I saw growing up. That's one boxer whose career I see most of, you know?
Hey, Billy, I know in the past we've talked to some legends in the boxing business. Mm-hmm. Some of those legends think that Mike Tyson may have been overrated. Your thoughts?
It's a good question. I don't know how to really answer it, because he knocked out everybody. I don't know, you know, I don't know who were tomato cans back then. I didn't know who was a setup and who was a planted fight. You know what I mean? It's not like I refuse to look at Mike Tyson like he's in Rocky III, where Mickey was just setting him up with all these tomato cans until he ran into Clubber Lang. You know?
Yeah. I think it's all people have for boxing these days is comparing it to Rocky. And that's kind of sad, Billy, right? I mean,
this is probably the best heavyweight fight. The first movie was made.
Yeah, but like, this is probably the best heavyweight fight we've had in, I don't know, what, almost?
A while.
But like years before that, I can't think of an anticipated fight. But I was looking at the box offices. Pacquiao and Mayweather were probably the biggest betting event, and it was a sham, but the De La Hoya Mayweather was actually the biggest draw ever. But why Wilder? Is it because he's an American fighter and will actually have another great American fighter if he wins this one?
I think it is. I think it's 100% that for the American boxing fan, the sport starts at the heavyweight division. You know, for the guys our age, we had Tyson. You know, and then they had Lennox Lewis. He was a British guy, but he was still, you know, he was still in this country enough to get it. And then the Klitschkos got the title, and it kind of disappeared. You know, the Las Vegas hype of the fights weren't there, because they were doing all their fights overseas. So the main event was on like 5 p.m. Eastern time. So the hype around it wasn't nearly what it was. But, you know, as a boxing fan, the sport starts with a nice American heavyweight.
Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. So Billy, I'm going with Wilder today. I think he can end the fight at any time, and especially in the later rounds, I think that he has the advantage. Fury just being at such a heavyweight, I think he said it's the heaviest weight he's ever been in his career. That worries me. And so to me, Joe and I talked about this. I like Fury plus 110 knockout. I think that's the only way he wins the fight. I think if it goes the distance, then, you know, it's going to be Fury. So I'm going with Wilder today, but I am kind of scared that both you and Joe and a few other boxing people are all on Fury today. It does scare me a little bit.
Do you guys have any concern about the cut above Fury's eye? Got cut against in his last fight he fought in, when the hell was it? Oh, last September, Otto Wallin, he fought. He got busted open pretty good. How do you guys, like, for the betting side, how do you approach stuff like that?
So I like the over, Billy, at 10.5. It was opened at 140. It's now minus 110. And I think the reason is I think a lot of prognosticators think this one is going to end in a knockout based off of Fury saying he'll do it in the second round and based off Wilder having that knockout punch.
Track record.
So you guys don't even look for TKO due to cut?
It definitely could. But I just think Fury is such a technical boxer where Wilder's not. If you rewatch that fight, look how many times Wilder has to run up to Fury to hit him. And there was times where he's just ducking and Wilder's just missing. And I don't know, man. I think Fury's going to be able to protect his eye. I do.
I hope so, because nothing would be worse than for the hype of this fight to get shut down by a cut.
Obviously, that happens.
It's neither boxer. It's the ref. It's the doctor. And then it's out of their hand. And that sucks.
Just last thing. What's next for heavyweight boxing after this match? Who fights who?
Well, it's a good question because Joshua is not scheduled to fight anybody. Andy Ruiz isn't scheduled to fight anybody. Dillian White isn't scheduled to fight anybody. So after this fight, do we get Fury Wilder 3? You know, is there a certain outcome from tonight's fight that wouldn't give us a third fight? Do we finally get Wilder Joshua? So it's pretty open-ended. There were some rumors of Andy Ruiz against Dillian White, but there really is. I think a lot of dominoes fall once this match ends.
All right, he's Billy Lanny. You can hear him tomorrow for all his reaction of the Wilder Fury fight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. What are you on, 9 a.m. tomorrow, Billy?
Yes, sir, 9 to noon.
All right. I appreciate you breaking down some boxing, and I'm sure we'll be doing this more in the future.
Thanks, Billy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, he's William G. Lanny. I call him William J. Lanny. I don't know why. I guess Jorge, George.
Maybe it rolls off the tongue.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
Real quick, your pick? You like Wilder?
Yeah, I like Wilder by KO, TKO, DQ plus 110. That's who I'm rolling with.
So I'll say this. If you're just a guy who wants to put action in the fight, I think Wilder's the way to go. Just for me, I just think Fury's the better fighter. I think he can protect his eye. And if it goes the distance, the judges are going to give it to him.
I agree.
That's literally exactly.
If it goes the distance.
And I think it's over. I think it goes over, but to Dan's point, you know, you probably get better money on the plus 105 if you like Fury to go to the distance than betting the over.
Agreed.
So,
plus 200 to go distance.
I'd rather win both bets, but I could also lose both bets on a knockout as
exactly,
well. So.
Exactly. Instead of just winning one bet, you know what I mean? So,
all right, we got more coming up next. We'll wrap up the show here and more picks here on 98.5 The Sports.
Who you got? Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tell you, man, pipe up here on Over-Under DraftKings Show. Be clean. We need to come up with a segment, people, for tweets. That has something to do with gambling. Gambling and tweets. Well, let's work on that one, everybody.
Give us your best bit.
Like not bit athlete's name. Tweet, okay? Something better than that. Like tricker tweet. Fader tweet. I don't know. Just something. We need help.
Yeah.
I get this one today, Dan. Missouri, Arkansas, over 136. Your thoughts?
I don't really have a strong feel on it either way.
I'm out on Arkansas, by the way. I already bet this game. Arkansas was a one-point favorite. They lost, so I'm out.
Yeah, especially Missouri on the road.
And it went into overtime, by the way.
Missouri is not a good road team. I would tend to lean under slightly. I mean, it's not, you know, there's not a lot there. So let's see what else we got here, Joe. We got a question from our buddy Bill. All right, Bill asked.
Bill, our Big Ten guy who's having knee surgery. Good luck to you, buddy.
Yeah, hope you're doing well, bud. He asked about UC Davis Santa Barbara today because UC Santa Barbara is a real good home side facing versus a bad road team in UC Davis. But he said UC Davis is a covering machine. They're 12-3 against the spread on the road. I would tend to lean UC Santa Barbara today with the 7. I think that's a big spread for a reason. I would go UC Santa Barbara. I know UC Davis is a great road team, but not a great spot and haven't been great just in general.
Dan, I have a square play alert.
Square play alert!
I don't know why, but Villanova was +1 at Xavier. And now it's gone to a pick'em. Why do I want Villanova?
I rarely do I ever take big favorites on the road on Saturdays. It's like a big no-no in college basketball. I like Nova. I am not fading them on the road against a... I like Xavier, real good home side, but they're just... they haven't been playing well. And this is not exactly the best spot for Xavier either, at least in my opinion, just coming off that win versus St. John's. And a couple weeks ago, earlier this week, they played Butler and lost on the road. I don't know. I don't love it. But they have an overtime loss at home to Marquette a few weeks ago. It feels kind of a similar game to that. I like Nova today.
All right, we have about 5 minutes here. I want to just kind of wrap some things up. XFL, the games have gone under 6 of the 8 games. Houston's been the best team. They played Tampa Bay this week. Tampa Bay sucks. Aaron Murray out. They've yet to score an offensive touchdown, and P.J. Walker could be the MVP of the XFL. And who's the damn coach?
Mark Trestman is garbage.
So what do we call
garbage.
That?
We're going to, what do you want
the
to call
trestle?
It? The Trestle?
The Trestle.
The Trestle.
Whenever Mark Trestman's in a game,
fade the Trestle. Fade the Trestle.
So I like Houston, and by the way, they're the only team to go over in both games.
Their defense has issues. I would not be surprised if Seattle found a way to score some points, but I still like that over.
Two other things. Dallas is 4.5 versus Seattle. Dallas had Landry Jones. He did not look good last week. He owned it, by the way.
Ugh.
Seattle's at home, the 12th man. I'm going under in that game, 43. Seattle likes to run the football. And, of course, we remember Matt McGloin not happy with anything that New York was doing. I like St. Louis to cover the -10. I'm laying the chalk. I think Tiamu is a very good quarterback, and I think should get a shot in the NFL next year. It's St. Louis's first home game. Did you know that St. Louis averages 77 plays per game on offense?
They're my favorite side today in the XFL. I like the big spreads. You know me. I like to when it's a big spread, I like to take the big fig.
I'm going DC as well, -8.5. On the road, their first game
that
versus
one of Houston,
LA.
One of Houston, Seattle, and DC is not going to cover. I think probably two of them don't cover. So just be careful. I think there's a real good chance that DC does not cover.
Just quick thing about that. LA has the worst secondary right now in the XFL, and two of their wide receivers got traded from LA to DC. I think it's payback for that one. So that's what we have here. I know there was some Houston Astros stuff that we wanted to get into. The hit by pitch went from 83.5 to 80.
You can save it for next week when I won't be here.
Okay, there.
I just don't think there's
Celtics Lakers. What do you think the line will be on Sunday?
Is it in Boston?
LA.
LA,
I believe. Yeah,
I think LA will probably be a 5 or 6 point favorite.
So I'm going Lakers, and here's why. They got embarrassed by the Celtics at home a couple of weeks back.
Yeah,
it was Anthony Davis' first game back from a bit. The Celtics have been awesome. You mentioned the over. That might be the play, just continuing the ride that
second
one.
Second half over.
Yeah. That's one thing. And then the Bruins continue there. They go for 6 in a row when they take on Vancouver.
Joe, any more plays today? You got anything else?
I had something written down here.
All right, I just want to give out my final plays. Yeah. I'm not going to be here next week, so I'm not giving out no podcast, I assume, next week, so no podcast, and I won't be here next Saturday, so I want to give out my final plays. I'm going to give you guys 6 plays. So, Kristen, two more plays, if you don't mind. Three more. I was right. Morehead State. Yes, Morehead State, the very glorious Morehead State, taking on the same team I faded earlier in the week, Tennessee State. Morehead State +1 at home. Give me Morehead State +1. So that's that. Give me Missouri State -1 versus Loyola. We did talk about that one earlier. I like Missouri State. I think they beat Loyola as well, and I think they're in a real good spot there. And finally, Alabama State at home versus Charleston. Definitely a mismatch. I'm going to take the underdog. Give me Alabama State +1 for Charleston.
Gross. All those teams are gross. We're going to welcome in Ryan Johnston here, who will take over in a minute. Bruins, Vancouver, bees on a back-to-back. Just wanted to share some trends on this one.
Share some trends.
Bruins 3-7 in their last 10 games in Vancouver. The over 6-2 in the last 8 meetings. The home team 4-1 in the last 5 meetings in these two matchups.
I haven't put any thought into this, but it feels like Bruins have played a lot of back-to-backs lately. That second game has been pretty low scoring.
The under 5-1 in the Bruins when they are a favorite in the last 6 games.
5-1 the last 6 overall, just in general.
So there's one there. And I figured we'd have some fun with this one. 40 years ago today is the anniversary of the U.S. win over USSR. Do you know what the line was?
Oh, I would have gone Soviets by like 4.5, maybe something like
so
that.
So that's big.
The money line, USSR was -600. Ooh, USA was +400.
That's not as
plus 400. That's it.
That's damn good odds.
No, that's not at all what I was thinking. I was thinking like you're
the Russians had beaten the Americans like 10-2 2 weeks before the Olympics. That was not a good matchup.
Someone projected this. I wish I could source it. I got it off ESPN. ESPN. Someone sourced USSR as -600 and USA +400.
That was that, wow. There was.
But
a
this
lot
was like 40 years ago.
Yeah, but there was a lot of hometown money on that. Like, there's no way. Like, if you put that in, like, if you had people in like Ghana betting on that, some neutral site. It would have been way bigger than that.
Yeah, the U.S. sharps just hammered everything that they had on the Americans.
They all just went in. That's what happened. It swayed the line. It was 660, and it went all the way down to 400. All right. We got to get out of here. Ryan Johnston takes over. Dan Lifshitz is not here next week, so we'll have a mystery guest. Stay tuned for that.
Oh,
thank you, everyone, for joining us this week. This has been the DraftKings Over-Under Show. He's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. Ryan Johnston takes over next here on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.